you didn't know what she was thinking about there, she's talking about a judgment that I'll be standing alongside and not facing the judge that day. Amen. It's going to be the great white throne judgment, and those that their names are not found written in the book of life will be standing there, and they'll hear just what the devil's going to hear. Depart from me. I never knew you. Today, Open House is about our church opening the doors and inviting folks to come in and be a part with us. We put on a meal because we want you to feel at home and be with us, and I hope you do feel that way today. You are welcome, and we thank you being here. All of you that are back in our church family, we hope that you feel welcome every Sunday that you come in. And let me say thank you for being faithful. Sometimes when we go through a storm and we've had an upset in our schedule and changes things, sometimes we have a tendency to change our schedule place to be, but thank you for being here and being faithful. Today I'd like for you to take your Bibles and go to 2 Corinthians with me. And as far as talking about opening some things, I want you to just, we want to talk about open some things that we need to open to the Lord Jesus this morning. Some things that we need to open to the Lord Jesus. I believe that one of the things, and I kind of wanted to preach about opening and try to tie it together with house and open house. And so we'll see how it goes today. But listen, the Bible has much to say about both. But the one that is most important is the house. And it's not the house of God, because sometimes we think about this building as it is the house of God. And you teenagers that are here today and that are came in, I'll just say this. You should reverence this building. It is something that God gave us to meet in, but this building is not the church. The church is made up of people. This is just where the church meets. And I was so glad to come down the road after the storm and find the building still here, because I like meeting here. Amen. We had to put some shingles back on it, but praise God, it was here and God was good to us and we have a place to gather together. But folks, even if the building wasn't standing this morning, the church could have gathered together in a place and still had church. Amen. We need to always be mindful of that. I think we sometimes, if we're not careful, because we've just had it so good, God's been good to us, we think church has to be a building. And if the building don't have a steeple on it, listen, I'm not going to wear a pointy hat like the Pope. All right? I'm just going to tell you, the church is not a church because of the steeple. The church is a church because God's people that believe in His Word have called upon His name and they choose to separate. The church is a called out assembly that joins itself together on a Sunday meeting for the cause of Christ. And His cause is the Great Commission. He's given us a great command and a pursuit in our whole campaign. And this open house is about being fruitful. Over here we see there's 43 souls saved. And listen, I'm going to tell you there would have been a bigger number, but we had to cancel some things this week. And some of our soul winning times and 61 visitors. And that number will go up because of some of you visitors being here. So I thank you for being here. But in 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing to a church that needs to learn so many things. And one of the things that I think some of us miss in this life is we spend so much time on this house. You know, this house, and I mean, I was thinking this house was out of shape by the time I got to floor number 4 at the tower today. I mean, I was going up there, and I did pretty good past 3, preacher. I thought, this ain't so bad. Then when I clicked off 4, I said, something's happening in my knees. When I got to floor 5, I said, my knees were going, I think you gained a few pounds since the last time we did this. And I kept pressing on. My wife said, why are you stopping? I said, I'm not, I'm just slowing down. Hey, I think sometimes when we think about this house, you know, this house wears out. This house isn't what it used to be. Some of you teenagers, you feel like supermen and you're on the way up and this house is growing up. But I'm going to tell you, this house is temporal. This house will wear out. This house takes on hurt and pain. But the Bible talks about another house. And the only way we're ever going to get to that house is if we open this house up to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to see it with me in 2 Corinthians, if you would, 2 Corinthians, and I want you to open your Bibles there to chapter number 5, and we're going to pray 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 this morning, and we'll talk about an open house to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. Lord, I pray that you'd help me today. I just want to be your messenger boy, Lord. I just want to show up and I want to speak up for you. And God, I pray that if there's one inside the building today that does not know Christ as a Savior, that today the Spirit of God would draw them as Jesus is lifted up. They would be drawn to accept him as their Savior. Lord, I pray that not one person that brought their house into this building today would leave without opening it to the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask it in the name above every name. In the name of Jesus, I ask it. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, I want you to begin and see, for we know. When he says for we know, he's speaking back of chapter number 4 and some foundational things that they know because he told them in chapter 4. Foundational things about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 14 of chapter 4. If you can look back, if you have to turn a page, do that with me. It says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present you with, he present us with you. He's going to give them some foundational knowledges of those that have called upon the name of the Lord are saved. And because they, again, all of us, if we don't go out in the rapture, we're going to perish and we're going to be raised up. There are a lot of folks, including one that is very precious to me. I have grandparents that, again, I did their funeral and I helped lay them in the ground. We buried them in hope of a resurrection of Jesus Christ because they opened their house and called upon the name of the Lord. Many of us don't realize that the word caskets, its foundational background of the word casket is hope chest. And when we, again, we separated the world because one is for burying and one is for keeping for a marriage. But folks, I'm just going to tell you, the casket is a box that is put in the ground looking forward to a marriage that will happen in the sky with the Lord Jesus Christ. When when Jesus comes back for his own, marriage is the next thing on the docket. We'll come up from the ground and be changed in the twinkling of an eye and we'll meet him face to face. I'm looking forward to that day. But here in chapter 5 and verse number 1, he says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, he's speaking of our bodies, we're dissolved. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Now many of you, I said young people, many of you don't groan as hard as some of us, the other ones do. Many of you woke up this morning and maybe just a little bit of dry air didn't feel as good as some of the wet air. Some of you knew the hurricane was coming a long time before we did because you had a crank in your neck and your knee and your back or some other place that you could feel it on its way. And for all of us, we got to understand that this house is dissolving. Now you may think, preacher, why would you use the term dissolving? You realize that this body is like 90% water. Do you realize that the only thing that holds this sack of water up is the bones that hold it all in place? And guess what is breaking down right now as you speak? Your bones. Most of you, it ain't growing anymore. It's digressing. One of the things that we have to make sure we take vitamins for, we take care of, and they tell you to drink milk because it does the body good. It's for your bones. Because everything else, and listen, I'm just going to tell you, what isn't already water is bone and it's dissolving. And one day when, if the Lord does tarries his coming, we'll all be put in the ground. And guess what happens to the body when it goes in the ground? It dries up. It dissolves. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, for all of us, I'm not looking forward to that day. What my body groans for is not to be in an earthly body anymore. Because I was created by God. Just Adam all the way back, I wasn't created to dissolve. You were not created to dissolve. We were created to praise God and to be in his presence eternally. And he desires to give us a body that can do that. But because of sin, we're in bodies that dissolve. We're in bodies that break down. We have no place to go back to called the tree of life to eat and to restore this body back to its original form. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, I'm looking forward to that day, but he says, for we know. Do you know that the only people that know that if their earthly body was dissolved, that they have another body? The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And for me to get excited, I don't know how about you this morning, but I'm just going to tell you, though, when I was working on roofs, I've been working on picking up branches and everything else, I realize I ain't as young as I used to be. And I groaned for a brand new body. I'd have taken my 20-year-old one. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? I'm just telling you, groaning for an eternal body, I'm so thankful. You know, every time that I have a creak or a crack, I don't look to go to the doctor. I look to heaven. Because I don't want this one fixed or new parts put in it. What I'd like to do is hear the trumpet from heaven and to Jesus to step out on a cloud and for me to meet him face to face in the air and for me to be joined with a brand new body that'll never break down, that won't need new parts, that I don't have to go see the doctor, that is made to be like Jesus. You say, preacher, how do I get that house? Listen, just like I did. If you're taking notes today, you need to, number one, we must open to salvation. Do you know, I remember the day that I opened my heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation, because salvation comes in no other. You say, preacher, you're being awful plain. What other way is there to be? Am I going to try to hide the gospel from you or to try to come around and get you on the backside of it? Let me just be plain today. There's a heaven and there's a hell. And the only place that's got a brand new body waiting for you, made in the heavens, not made with man's hands, but made by Almighty God. By the way, do you know that's how the first man's body was? The one that's eternal in the heavens, the one that I long for, that the Bible says all of us groan for, that only came to me because of what Jesus did on Calvary. There was a day I recognized that I was a sinner. And that this body contained sin. And the reason it was dissolving and the reason it was wearing out was because of sin. And not just Adam's sin, but my own. If you were honest with yourself today, you'd accept the fact that you're a sinner. Now, you may be able to look across the aisle and say, I'm not a sinner like that so-and-so. I'm not a sinner like them. But you're still not going to argue out of the fact that you're a sinner. And the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Death is on its way for every man, woman, boy, and child that ever entered and ever came into this life, this earth, because they're lost in their sins. They will face death, but not if they open their heart and life to the life giver. Jesus in John chapter 14 said, I am the way. He is the way to heaven. He's the life. He's a preacher. What do you mean? Yeah, I'm the way. And listen, what you're hearing preached today is the truth. Jesus is the truth, and he's the life. Can I just tell you this morning that I remember the day that I bowed my head and my heart and I opened and asked Jesus to come in. Do you know there are theologians that don't like that terminology? That Jesus didn't leave heaven and come into my heart. And can I tell you, that is not exactly what happened. The physical form and body of Jesus Christ did not enter into me, but what he promised me was he would send his Spirit. God is existent as the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And when I accepted Jesus as my Savior, the one who purchased heaven for me, he sent his Spirit to live and indwell me. And so Jesus did come in because he sent his Spirit. Listen, folks, I'm going to tell you, I've not ever been the same since his Spirit came in. He came in and sealed my salvation. You say, how long is salvation for? It's eternal. The day that I got saved and I accepted Jesus and I opened my heart and life and I opened this house to Jesus, he formed a house in heaven. He got a house ready for me. Now listen, all of you are so excited about your mansion. Jesus said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will doubtless come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Most of you are more excited about leaving the earthly house that this hurricane tore the shingles off of and going to a mansion in heaven that you think's got a bowling alley, a pool table. And I mean, we could list it all. Some of you ladies are looking for the island in your kitchen that you've never had. Hey, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, the older I get, the more I look forward to it. It ain't anywhere in heaven is a mansion if it's next to Jesus. I'm not worried about the room. And listen, I'm going to tell you, I believe heaven will be more than I ever thought it could be. He's told me about the gates of pearl and the streets of gold and that there's a mansion awaiting for me. But listen, the thing I'm looking to jump into ain't my mansion. It's a brand new eternal house. It's not made with hands, one that won't wear out. The thing I'm going to run all over my mansion in is a body not made with hands. It's not one that's breaking down. It's not one that's hurting. It's one that's going to have a brain that doesn't have limitations. This morning, Pastor and I were trying to recall a name of somebody, and I couldn't bring it up. And listen, there'll be a day that I'll know as I am known because I have a brain that isn't a sinful brain or one that's lacking things or can't hold on to all the things that God is, but one that can know as I am known. A heavenly house, an eternal house, not made with hands. I don't know about you, but that's an awful good trade. If all I've got to do is surrender and just simply open my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and come in, and not only do I get a mansion for my new body to live in, but I get a brand new house. Folks, I'm telling you, you know, when I was a young person, it took a while, but even at 15, I realized I wanted to live into a new house in heaven and not one in hell. Folks, I'm going to tell you, you say, well, this body dissolves. Listen, your body has a soul. And it is going to take position. And it can go, listen, the only place, I want you to understand this. The only people in eternity that are promised a brand new body are the ones that are going to the heavens. The devil's not making any bodies for everybody that's coming to hell. You say, well, why is it? Listen, because down there, the body would burn up. But the soul is eternal. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I'm talking about folks will burn in hell. There are people today that have gone into heaven and they wait for the rapture of the church to be joined with their brand new body. And they wait and they see and they look at what's going on down here. But there are a whole bunch of other people who rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, who heard the gospel and they rejected. And today they burn in a devil's hell. Not because they didn't have opportunity. Not because they didn't know who Jesus was. It's because they didn't open their house up to him when they heard about him. They didn't say, come in and live in me. Give me the life, the truth, and be the way to heaven for me. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, I think about as I drive through the town, you know, I thought about just the folks that, you know, in North Carolina and just the number of bodies that they're continuing to uncover. And I wonder, and I even heard from a preacher this week that just said, you know, I wonder how many of them were saved. One family this week, I was talking to Brother Chad, who's good friends with one of the churches he's trying to help up there. He said that they had a funeral for one family, and a man buried 11 of his family members this week. Sole survivor of his family. Folks, you say, what happened? They all went out into eternity. No warning. No idea that water was coming that was going to run down and take out the road and take out their house and take out the mountainside and completely wipe everything out. Folks, I'm just going to tell us, most of us sitting in this room today with all the natural disasters and the things that have happened ought to understand that we're one breath away from eternity. You're not guaranteed gray hair, young people. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You have to understand that when God preaches a message to you from his word, that you got to understand that it's your opportunity to hear from heaven, that he is a place prepared for you if you accept it. But you can't just listen. If God just gave everybody heaven, everybody wants to go to heaven. Heaven isn't something you choose. You don't open your heart to heaven. You open your heart to the heaven giver, the one that made a way, the one that came from heaven and died on Calvary and rose again to be able to give you life. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't accept heaven. You accept Jesus. And heaven comes because he's the life. And we will spend eternity with him. I want you to see number two. Not just that we have to open, but how about service? We have to open our heart to service. Do you know, he goes on in verse number four, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God. Who wrought it? Who decided it? God did. There are so many verses in the Bible that we were on our way to hell, but God. Way before the foundation of the world, before the first man was ever made, God made a choice to redeem us back into himself. He decided to give you, listen, because we fell into sin as men, God said, listen, I want to redeem them, and I'll send my son to pay for their sin debt. God has wrought us for this selfsame thing, the Bible says, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. When you get saved and you open your heart to Jesus Christ, what comes into you is the Spirit of God. He seals you. You couldn't keep your salvation if you wanted to. All the keeping in the eternal life comes from God. It ain't about you. It ain't about you being clean. It ain't about you being baptized. It ain't about you teaching Sunday school to be saved. It's all about him and his power. And that same Spirit not only gives you power to have eternal life, but he gives you power to serve God in this life. He says, therefore, you know, therefore always comes from something that was there. And that, listen, it just spoke about the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident. Are you always confident today? You say, preacher, are you always confident? I know the Bible tells me that I'm not supposed to have the spirit of fear. But I'm supposed to have confidence in the Lord. I'm supposed to pray and to serve with confidence. He says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Folks, I'm just going to tell you today, even in Sunday school, we were going through some things, and I'll just tell you this. The Old Testament saints don't have anything on us. God laid out a book and told us how it all is going to finish up. And if we'll just read it and believe it, we can walk by faith. We don't have to see it played out in front of us. Not everybody's got to play us a movie. Listen, God gave us his word and told us exactly how everything's coming. And today, listen, I'm just going to tell you, one day will be the last day. And what I want to be found is being faithful, walking by faith, in service to my King. I'd like to be raptured out in step, in service, loving him. You say, preacher, what do you mean? He says, listen, we are confident in verse 8. I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present from the Lord. If you ask me what I want today, I know that heaven's better. I know that being wrapped with a body that doesn't have any aches and pains is better for me. But what about all the folks that are still lost? What about the folks that moved into our town that don't know that heaven's their home? They've never opened their heart in salvation. I'm so glad that my preacher didn't lay down one day before I got saved. I'm glad my preacher didn't quit on me or quit preaching the gospel as hard as he ever preached it before, one day short of my salvation. And you say, preacher, what are you going to do? I've determined, and I'm willing rather, boy, if I had my way, I'd like to enter into that brand new body that's in the heavens. I'd like to put all my burdens down. I'd like to just be able to go on and see my mansion in heaven. But I don't want to quit one day short of the person that can go with me. I don't want to quit one day short of the person that I know that God sent his son to die for. Folks, I feel like sometimes if we're not careful, we'll forget that salvation was, we are saved to be in the family of God. And the family of God is focused on the lost. It has been the eternal purpose of God to redeem man back into himself. And if I'm going to join God's family through salvation, then I must get in the mission of Almighty God. I must get in the mission of my family. I must take on the commission that has been given me from God. I must tell. You say, preacher, what do you mean? How can I tell? Well, some people go out soul winning. Some people leave our church and go with Bibles and just hand Bibles and give the gospel that way. Some people give tracts. Some sit in our radio station and invite people to come to our church. Some folks record devotions. Some people write devotions. Some people write tracts. Some people pray when people are out soul winning. Do you know there's a great number of things to serve God? Some people right now are preparing a meal for the visitors that have come because they're praying back there as they make each spot of food, thinking, Lord, help somebody get saved today. Help somebody call upon the name of the Lord. Listen, folks, when was the last time that you remembered that it isn't all about going to heaven, but it's about opening up to God in service? God, I'll serve you with all I am. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for letting me be a part of your family and your work. Thank you for letting me be a part of your church. I'll serve you. Now, service is something we do. Look at what the Bible says. He says, wherefore we labor in verse 9. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted by him. Folks, that accepted doesn't mean whether you're going to be welcome in heaven or not. It's a pat on the back of that a boy. You realize if you accepted Jesus as your Savior, you are going to enter into heaven because you accepted Jesus as your Savior. But there's a whole other thing of showing up. Can I just tell you, when I showed up at home, come in the house, I was a part of the family. I was my dad's son. He gave me his last name. He'd have gave me his first name, but he didn't like it. He said, I'm not branding you with that. I had to live it down. Hey, folks, I'm just going to tell you, for all of us, do you realize there's a lot of things, but you know what I look for? When my daddy said, cut the grass. My daddy liked the grass cut a certain way. And when he got home, I was waiting to hear, grass looked good, boy. Hey, folks, when I stand before the righteous judge one day, I will not stand because he paid for all. I'm not standing to answer for my sin. He's paid it all. All to him I owe. The only reason I can even enter into the gates of heaven is because he paid it all and I open myself to him for salvation. But my service one day will be judged. Look at what the Bible says in verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's not the great white judgment seat that was sung about. This is one for all the saved, the ones that have been, their sins have been covered by the blood of the Lamb. It says the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. You know how many people mess this verse up and they misconstrue it? Folks, can I just be honest with you today? Can you be honest with yourself? Since you've been saved, you did some good and you did some bad. Some of it gave you great opportunity to be an example to the others to be saved. And some of it tore your testimony down with others. Instead of lifting Christ up, you tore him down in others' eyes. And when we stand before him, I'm not going to answer and not make it into heaven because of my sin. He's paid it all. But I want to be accepted by him. I don't want to hear, son, you only cut half the yard. I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Do you know, I've learned that the only way that that happens is by opening, not just to service, but opening my heart to surrender. I want you to turn to Revelation chapter number 3 with me. Quickly, Revelation chapter 3. Jesus is speaking to a church, and it's these churches picture ages, and we live in this age today. Jesus is speaking to the Laodicean church. Now, I do not believe that we are a Laodicean church, but I will just say this. Our surrender will determine what type of church we are. I've learned one thing from studying and reading the Bible. I used to think when I first got saved that service determined what type of church we are. But you know, almost every one of these churches, Jesus says, I know your works. Do you know that every one of these churches had works? Every one of them. Every one of them had service. Some of them lacked love. Some of them lacked strength. This church here lacked understanding. Can you imagine having all the complete scripture of the Bible and being the one that put the Lord Jesus outside the church? This church is working for the person that they aren't welcoming in. Do you know that there are churches today that say they worship Jesus Christ, but they are far from his doctrine? And you cannot have Jesus. Jesus isn't going to come in and dwell in a church that's wrong in their doctrine. He's not going to meet in the midst of people who worship him in error. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, he says he's going to go through a lot of things, but he gets to the place where this church is lazy. They're serving, but in their own time. When I get an opportunity. When I can. When it's convenient. That's who they are. He tells them they're blinded. You know what they've been blinded to? What they look like in the mirror. Because they think they're rich. They think they're beautiful. They think they're the best thing since sliced bread in the eyes of Almighty God. And God tells them, you're blind. You're naked. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, he goes through a list of things. He tells them to repent. You know what repentance turns to? It's surrendering that I was wrong and God was right. He goes through this, and when he gets this, he says, as many, verse 19, he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Do you know that God, when he gets on us, when a preacher preaches a message like this, it ain't because he doesn't love you. It's because he wants you to be ready for the day that you stand before Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you to stand there when Jesus asks you a question and go, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. He wants God to be able to pull off the roll sheet and talk about all the things you've done for him. Wouldn't it be great? I'm just going to tell you, as a pastor, I want to lead my people to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. And I'm just going to be able to tell, I'm just going to tell you today, as a shepherd, the shepherd leads, he doesn't drive. That means I seek and I serve to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. The preacher should be an example of the believer. Folks, I'm not preaching something to you that I'm not preaching to myself and not seeking to do and hear. Because otherwise, we're a church that has pushed Jesus outside the doors of our heart. And he knocks. Look at verse 20. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. You may be saved and on your way to heaven, but it's been a long time since you've heard Jesus speak to your heart. Because at some place in your service or this life, you pushed him out and said, I'm okay. The Bible also calls that same terminology of quenching the Spirit of God. You say, preacher, what do I do? Listen for the knock. That Savior that came from heaven and died on Calvary, he desperately wants back in. He stands at the door and knocks. You know, preacher, I got reading this today and I got thinking, you know, I've always wanted to try to understand exactly why when Stephen died, why Jesus was standing. I believe already by that time, with many people that had accepted the Messiah in Jerusalem, Jesus was already having to stand and knock on the door and ask people to let him back in. Living in a day and age where people had run and done their own things and Jesus is gone. People that had stood with him now ran. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, it's not just this is not just our age. Every age of man has had a Laodicean church that pushed Jesus out. And the whole church doesn't have to come back to him, but wouldn't it be good if every one of us made a decision to, Lord, my heart is still open and surrender to you. Wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to serve, my heart is open to you. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, I'm not locking doors on the Lord Jesus Christ. My door's open, because if not, he's standing and knocking on the heart's door. You say, preacher, why is that important? why are you having to preach that today? We just had a storm, and we've been so worried and tired, because I'm just going to tell you, folks, if we're not careful, we'll get our eyes on the temporal. We'll get looking at all that we lost. We'll get looking at what we don't have and what we could have and what could happen, instead of keeping our eyes on Jesus. Because one day, all the stuff that's going on earth won't matter anymore. And there'll be a call from heaven that happens in chapter 4 and verse 1 that says, come up hither. And the church will take off and will stand before him. And making an open heart choice to let Jesus in will be too late for the sinner that's not saved. The one that never, I wanted to work, but I just didn't know how to get started. I did work, but one day I pushed him out and decided to serve myself. Christian, I beg you today, if you're saved and on your way to heaven, open your heart's door once again to the Savior. Let him back in and realize that your fellowship with him is sweet. His mercies, his blessings are new every morning. Hey, can I just say this? As a Christian, serving him isn't too bad either. It was a while ago that I gave my life to him. You say, preacher, is there something else you'd rather be doing? I can't tell you what it is. I sat at the table today, and I was talking about somebody, and I just listened. You know, you say, what's in a name? A long time ago, our teenagers got busy about trying to figure out what everybody's name meant. And I'd never gone through that before. And I thought, how good is God? You know, I mean, you may go home today and look up your name and not like what it says. But I chose to surrender and serve God with my life, and I started going through that with my teenagers, and God blessed me, because I wanted to be encouragement to them. You know, my first name, Barry, means spear-like. My middle name is Edward. It means guardian. My last name means sons of the preachers. You say, preacher, what's in a name? Listen, my name, your name, not a whole lot. But there's a name. I did that study so I could take them around and show them what Jesus' name meant. You know, you can call on anybody else. Our governor is great. Our sheriff is great. And you can call them, and many times they can help you. But there's only one name that you can call on. There's only one man that you can open your heart's door that can give you salvation, and that is the God-man, Jesus Christ. What's in a name? Everything. What's in a name? Eternity. I called upon his name. I opened my heart's door. Listen, I have a house prepared in heaven. But this house accepted Jesus as a Savior. And then the house was prepared in heaven. Are you prepared for heaven? Is your house prepared? Have you opened your heart's door to the Lord Jesus Christ? If you haven't, then heaven will not be your home. But you know, the blessing of that is today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. And you can accept him as your personal Savior. Church, you can open your heart again to the Savior that saved you and open it in love and service to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All you have to do is open your heart's door. The best way you can do that, if you're here and you need to be saved, why don't you let somebody take you through the Bible so you can know exactly who you believed in and why you believed it today. Let us take you through the Scripture and show you what Jesus says about how you can call upon his name and confess him as your Savior. If you're here today and you're a church member, maybe you're a Christian that came as a visitor, but it's been a long time since God spoke to your heart. But today, he pricked your heart. You know what a prick is? A prick is just a tiny little hole. It's just a tiny little punch. It's like a keyhole in a door. And Jesus ain't coming in through the keyhole. He's standing at the door knocking for you to open it up. And God spoke to your heart. Maybe he opened up the keyhole again so that you could hear the still small voice of God saying, let me back in. You say, preacher, I'll do that in the future. Okay. Well, how much future do you have left? Paul believed Jesus was on his way back. I believe Jesus is coming. And the Bible says when this church comes through and Jesus knocks on the door, it's just a verse away And he says, come up hither. Folks, I feel like we're less than just a verse away from Jesus coming back. I would not delay. I would accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'd make today the day of my salvation. If you've been away from him, don't enter into heaven with a hardened heart and a closed door to Jesus Christ. Welcome him back in and hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant, with heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I beg you to make the decision for Jesus Christ today. I cannot make it for you. If I could choose heaven for everyone in the building that came into this place, I would have already chosen it. All I can do is preach and explain and tell you the truth that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And you've got, he says, and listen, he says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's just saying it, there's no way to salvation except for me. You have to call upon his name. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, then please receive Jesus as your Savior today. If you're a church member, you're saved in here today, but your door has been closed to service and surrender to the Lord, I beg you to open it. I don't know how many days we have left to serve him, to surrender our all to everything that he is and wants us to do, but one day of service to the King would be better than waiting till he comes. Wouldn't it be better to bow the knee here than to wait until you get into a brand new body and it's the first time you've bowed your knee in a long time to Jesus Christ? I will bow my knee with this earthly body. I'll serve him until he comes. What will you do with your house? Is your house an open house to Jesus Christ? Or is it closed and barred to him? As we stand to our feet, I'm going to pray. But if God spoke to your heart about being saved, would you just meet me in the front here? Dear Lord, I come to you the best way I know how, and I beg you again, Holy Spirit of God, I cannot draw men unto you, but you can draw men unto Jesus. I beg you, God, to do what you can only do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just as I am, without one plea,